Chavite, it's like the Mishnah, Tzadivav, Amar Aleph, on top. Chavite Kain Gadol, Yishasam Erechasam, Avyasam Mifnim. The Chavitim, the Kain Gadol, the kneading of the dough, the shaping of it, the baking of it, is all done, Mifnim, within the Chatzar. Remember, just a quick Chazara, the Kain Gadol, we being in a sar and a flour, you divide it, Tzadivav, Amar Aleph, Mishnah, you divide the flour into two half asarinus with half a sar and kli. You then take it and use half in the morning, half in the evening. You made 12 loaves in total, 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening. So when you took the made these doughs and the baking and all that, it has to be done bifnim. Rashi says why? Very interesting. Rashi says l'divrei hakol. Even forget about last the mechlekes we just said yesterday regarding whether kli lach. No, kli lach we said are mekadosh. Whether kli yavish is mekadosh or not. Over here it's mekadosh. You know why? Because that's by the sarin kli. By the chatzi sarin kli, everyone agrees it's kadosh. That's how Rashi explains his mission. It goes to the kol. So the chavitim is kadosh, and therefore it's got to be done b'fnim. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos argues Rashi, and he says the reason Tosfos actually found on Sadi Ham and Beis, and Tosfos says the reason why it is kadosh is because when you made the chavitin, you mixed in oil. The oil was in a kli lach. The oil certainly was kaddish. So if I take kaddish stick oil and mix it into my flour, I'm dealing with kaddish. It has to be done b'fnim. So Tosfos says you don't have to come on to the fact that the chatzi asarin kli was mekaddish. No, it could be kli avish. Also, it's not mekaddish, but it still has the oil in it, and that's reason enough for it to be mekaddish. Okay. V'deichas es haShabbos. Now we're saying the michas chavitim v'kain gadol is deichas Shabbos. Trinas and which all fits like a glove with what we said yesterday. Anything which has is. You have to do Kiddush Kli, so if you bake it, right, you have to bake it on Shabbos, because if you bake it the day before, and it's ready for Kiddush, it'll get a psalina. So it must be baking it on Shabbos. Tchinasan v'harakdasan, the grinding of it, and the rikud, which is the sifting, right, these are both malachas, which could be done earlier, ain't a deicha Shabbos. Those two malachas not deicha Shabbos. So you're grinding the flour and sifting it has to be done before Shabbos, but the other stuff which you can't do once you have Kiddush Kli, you can't do before Shabbos, that is done on Shabbos. Call him Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says the cloud, which is the Chayr explaining the first line of the Mishnah, not arguing. Meaning, even if it's a chief to do something on Shabbos, if there's any part, any component of it that could have been done prior to Shabbos, you have to do that prior to Shabbos to minimize the malacha Shabbos. Even though that which you're allowed to do in this case is a mitzvah, you're mechuyev to do it. It's not just a dichli, you're mechuyev to it. But whatever could be done for Shabbos, that it does not have the heter, and therefore that you are supposed to do from before Shabbos. Okay. Tosfos just points out that this cloud that Rabbi Akiva says was said actually in three places. Said by us, it was said in Shabbos Daf Kaf Lamed Gimel in the Reb Elazar Demila, and in Pesachim also Daf Samach Tes. Tosfos says in all three places you need it for different chiddushim. Pesach, Mila, and Tosfos actually says over here L'chayra is the only place where not necessarily it was necessarily needed. You could have relied on those, but in other two places you need it for Pesach and Mila. Okay. Umiya Tosfos just finished it off. I'm milsed Rabbi Kiva lay by Tzuchasa Dashmina b'chol duchta ma'idzachi Shabbos. Yeah, always in every place we're going to explain what is and isn't a Shabbos. That's not considered repetitive. Okay, Zokta Mishavayda. Kol menaches yesh ba ma'isa kli b'fnim. All menaches the ma'isa kli. They all have a component that has to be done b'fnim. The actions of b'fnim. So in this context, really means Rashi says it means the kneading of the dough and the shaping of it, lishav aricha, is done b'fnim, it's done in the klisharis, and therefore it can't be brought b'chutz. Remember we spoke yesterday, Machlokes Rashi Tosfos on this, Rashi says the reason is because once it's in the klisharis, if it goes out, it gets a psul of yaitzeh. Tosfos says, no, kiddush klisharis doesn't make psul yaitzeh. If it goes on the shulchan, or something further along, I mean, it's b'zveyach, but kiddush klisharis is not enough for psul yaitzeh. Tosfos says, it's time, it's a g'nai. Once something's kiddush b'kli, you don't take it outside, not that it gets psul yaitzeh, but it's a g'nai. Okay. Shtei alechem. Arkan Shiva, now we're getting into the sizes. Shtei Alechem, the Arkan, the length of it was 7 Tvachim, Shiva Tvachim, V'rachvan Arba Tvachim, the length was 7 Tvachim, the width was 4 Tvachim, V'karnaseh Abar Etzbayis. So the length was 7 Tvachim, the width was 4 Tvachim, and the Kranes, these are the horns, so we'll speak more about it later, but essentially they fashioned these horns, these little like pieces of dough, almost like fingers, and they ate it at the top of these breads. So that was 7 etzbayis. Not tvachim, 7 etzbayis. Okay, I'm sorry, 4 etzbayis. Lechem aponim, arkan asar tvachim, the length was 10 tvachim, rach chavish tvachim, the width was 5 tvachim, karnais v'shef etzbayis, and over there the horns were were seven. That's by the Rachbanim was seven. And again, the horns were, so let's go with the back shape that we've been discussing. We have a chalikas if it's back, or if it's like a sphina or a kedas, the fast ship. If you go with the back shape, so you have a flat bottom, the walls come up on the side. We'll discuss again, we've had this earlier, but we'll discuss again, I think it comes up in today's daf, whether or not it was, it's come up in the Baal Mamed, whether it was two tvachim high, or actually it comes up in the next line of the Mishnah. Two tvachim high on the sides, or two and a half tvachim high, but basically it comes up on the sides, the walls, and then now the new horns, you put on top of the wall facing inward. It doesn't make it go higher, it goes flat. So basically, it's almost like parallel to the base. It's parallel to the base. Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Shlai Chita, in order that you shouldn't make a mistake, you shouldn't forget the shirim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, the shear is zadad. That's seven tvachim for the length of the shtei lechem, four dalet is four tvachim for the width, and four etzbayis for the horns. That's the way to remember the shtei lechem. And lechem apanim is yehaz, 10 tvachim by 5 tvachim with 7 fingers of horn. Okay, the first just point out, it's interesting. Rabbi Yehuda is common to give simanim. We know, famous in the Haggadah, by the Tamakas, who gave the simanim? Tzach, Adash Bachav. Rabbi Yehuda, you know, he's remember simanim. Yehuda gave the simanim. Okay, the question over here, the first one actually quite bothered over here in our case. Meaning over there, I actually don't know what the words mean, but there's some significance to the words. Over here, Zedad and Yahaz, at face value, is really just the letters, the number, numeric value of these things. So why am I going to remember that better than the din itself? A little bothered. So I forgot where it was, where I saw it. I want to explain ultimately these are words. For example, let's go with the first one. Zedad is actually remind of the lashon of Zedad. You know, like Isha has Shadayim. A woman's chest is Shadayim, Zeh Dad, and it's referring to Shtei Lechem. Shtei Lechem, ironically enough, it's a funny way to remember it. Shtei Lechem is, there's two loaves of bread, so Zeh Dad is actually a lashon of the real word, real meaning. These are related reminders like the Dadim, there's two of them, and then Zayin Dal Dal is the size, so all of a sudden now it's a way to remember it, and so too, Yehaz is also some sort of word. So quickly for the Alach of the day, actually, the next one. This relates to halacha. We'll see right now. B'zayim ha'imer. V'nasata al ha'shulchan lechem panim l'fanai tamid. You should put on the shulchan lechem panim l'fanai tamid. What's lechem panim? Lechem panim she'yula panim. Lechem panim means that the lechem should have faces. So the simple taitch is faces means it should have surfaces. The lechem should have, like the mentioned shapes, which we said, let's say go with the simple, again, the more basic picture we always have is flat on the bottom, comes up the sides, folds up again, there's folds. There's different sides to it, different surfaces. That's one taitch of panim. I guess so. The sphin also comes up on a V up the side, so it's there's different sides. So then it on the top it gets more circular. See, there's different facets to it. It's not just one blob. Now, others teach the word panim to mean there's a pnim, an inside, which again both of them had an inside. They were hollow on the inside. We're saying that there's a little bit of a cover on top of those horns, but for the most part, it's hollow on the inside. So there's a pnim. There's a base kibble area. There's a pnim. There's inside. Okay. There's a shayla, very basic shayla, on Shabbos. Pinim. Sorry?
The note says pinim corners.
Who says that?
Right here.
Another, are you saying there's another taich? Well, the notes say another taich of pinim corners. Okay, that was that. Does that fit also according to the pshat of...
It says lechem panim l'fnai tamid. Translated continuously.
Yeah, we're focused on the panim. We're not focused on the tamid. We're focused on the panim. So... Yehuda is saying that they bring also the Mefarshim also bring a taich of pinim like corners. Okay, very good.
And I was focused on the continuous because I'm kind of figuring out what do you mean by continuous what all day and all night.
There always was, sure. It was on there all week, and then when they took out one, they actually used to slide one in right off the other one. We'll get to that. It's a separate. Okay. So there's a shayla. Rama says on Shabbos, one is allowed to break into a piece of cake. Well, actually, let's go backwards. If you have cake with letters written on top, you're not allowed to break into it. That's the Rama. Even though your intent is to eat, not to break the words, it's still considered erasing, and therefore it's usser. There's discussion whether there's a difference between, let's say, icing on top of a cake or if it's baked into the cake itself. Right? Mr. Brewer brings that clearly that if it's baked into the cake itself, then you can be seimech, it's not considered writing, and you can eat it. Now, there's also a difference, by the way, between whether you break it with your mouth or break it with your hands prior, right? Could be breaking with your mouth as bechlam more lenient. If you just put it in your mouth and take a bite, that's bechlam more lenient. We're talking about, let's say, where you're cutting it with a knife. Is cutting it with a knife an issue? That's more of a of the concern that we're discussing. So again, we're saying it can be mekel if it's baked into it, if it's icing written on top, it's more of a concern. The Chazon Ish seems to make a chilek a little bit different. He says there's a chilek between whether the cake or the cookie is a form, like a shape, or if it's a picture, or if it's a letter. If it's a letter, that would be problematic. If it's a general form, that he says would be okay. No, this is in India, this Isra of Ksiv is also on a form. Normally, it's on a picture. But he's saying picture would be okay, a letter, not. Rav Yaakov Emden also was makel on this idea of breaking a form or a face. And Rav Yaakov Emden said, one of the rights he brings is for our Mishnah, because a simple type of Mishnah is, Lechem Apanim was a pnim, at faces. The Mishnah calls it faces. Even though we're saying it was my Mishnah, face, but it was at face. The Mishnah calls it faces. What did the Karam do? They would take it out on Shabbos. That's exactly the spot to take it out. And they would eat it. They didn't wait until the Shabbos. They would eat it. So we see clearly that eating something that has faces, you can't tell me how it's lean. I mean, you don't want to delay it, but you can really eat it much Shabbos till the morning. No way do you find that they waited till the Shabbos to eat it. On the contrary, they would eat it right away. So therefore, we see, says Rav Yaakov Emden, we see that eating a form that was baked in, which is like a face. Again, we're saying lechabon wasn't really a face, we're just calling it a face, but eating something which is considered a face is not considered a problem on Shabbos. Okay. Hashulchan arche asar b'chvei chamisha. The length of the shulchan was 5. Now, just to remind ourselves of this basic chumash, the shulchan was actually 1 amah by 2 amahs. And the whole discussion coming up in the Mishnah now is going to be based on how big were the amas in the Mishkan, the amas of Binyan. There's a different type of amas. There's amas that are, the tefach remains the same, but the amas, were they 5 tefach amas or 6 tefach amas? So basically, the shulchan was either, the shulchan was 1 amah by 2 amas, that's pasuk. But how does that translate into tefachim? Either it's 5 tefachim by 10 tefachim, or if you hold the amas were 6 tefach amas, it would be 12 tefachim by 6 tefachim. That's going to be 2 opinions. Let's see it now. Hashulchan arche arba arche asar rav rach by chamisha. This first opinion holds that the shulchan was 10 tefachim by 5 tefachim. Lechem apanim arche asar rach by chamisha. Lechem apanim was 10 tefachim long and 5 tefachim wide. So even if you just put the 5 tefachim next to the 5 tefachim, you've already taken up the whole 10 tefachim of the table, and you still have obviously massive overlap the other way because you've put just picture in your head. I've put my Again, I'm putting my 5 tefachim width and my 5 tefachim width side by side, which encompasses the 10 tefachim length of the shulchan. But my lechem was 10 by 5 also. So now I'm taking over on each side. If I have 5 that's overlapping, how much is taking over on each side? 2.5 on each side. Says this Tanakam in the Mishnah. You put the length of the bread corresponding the width of the shulchan, so you're able to fit both. And you fold up 2.5 from this side and 2.5 from that side. You fold up the bread, and therefore you now are able to fit it onto the table. Okay. I don't think I was clear on that point. If my lechem is 10 tefachim, if I do 2.5, right? My 2 lechems, my lechem overlapped on each side of the table 2.5 tefachim. So I fold it upwards, 2.5 tefachim. Now my lechem is perfectly on the table. It's encompassing the whole half a table. And the other lechem, again, the whole half a table. And now I'm taking up every square inch of the shulchan. We'll get there in a second. Zak the Mishnah. The all these machlekes about in Mishnah, this is what we discussed other night after Shir, right? Machlekes in the Mishnah is about how the shulchan looked. I mean, the last Tanaim in the earlier Tanaim in the Mishnayos were around the times of Beis Hamikdash. It's funny, there's a machlekes. Go see what it was. Like their grandfather saw it.
Interesting also is that it goes into such fine detail what she does. Like you would assume the reason, or they would, the way they would know these fine details is because they actually did see it, which makes it even more, I guess, interesting that there's a totally different opinion.
That's it.
Exactly.
The one thing I'm thinking of,
I
100%.
It's one thing, like, you know, we have an idea.
If they have the detail, it must be the cover somewhere. So here's the question.
Like this,
is it shayach?
Exactly,
is it shayach that just like there's different menhaga in different shuls, in different time periods, like maybe based on the Kohen Gadol was, or based on the Mishmar, based on the Beis Av maybe, there's the different rounds who are on call in the Beis Midrash.
Why would they do it differently?
Right, and at the end of the yeah, no, that's not the right, because once we're going down that road, So why is there any machlekes at all? Obviously, there was some sort of, yeah, I hate to say it, but here, some sort of machlekes discussion issue lapse in the machlekes. And the Gemara, it's not me saying it, the Gemara says it, that until a certain point of time, two Yaisim and Chaynins in the Mishnayos, there was never machlekes. Why? Because the Maseir was so perfect, and the Kaiso didn't have the Gullius, whatever it was. The Maseir was, but there was no, the machlekes by definition means some sort of lack of information. So the question just is, I mean, again, what did they do? Like, maybe that itself switched. I don't know. Yeah. So when the Mishnah goes into detail over here, just to your last point, it doesn't bother me that much because it can be that these are all based on, they're based on, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's based on the Pesukim, obviously, about the shear of the Shulchan, but it doesn't say in the Pesuk how it was laid out, and it's really going based on their understanding of how big the Amma was back then.
But nice,
okay. The Kefil Tefchaim Mechtz Mekan, Tefchaim Mechtz Mekan, Nimtza Erkem Mal Rechtbeis, so it comes out that the length of the Chala fills the Eirech, the Rechvei, the Rechiv of the Shulchan, Tiv Rebbe Yehuda. This whole opinion is the reader's opinion who says that the Amas were five Tefchamas. Rebbe Yehuda, no, HaShulchan Erkem Shneim Asar V'Rechvei Sheisha. The Shulchan was 6 by 12, because he was going by 6 Tefchim Amas. So again, still 1 Amas by 2 Amas. That's not changing, but that now becomes 6 Tefchim by 12 Tefchim, which gives you a little more wiggle room. Therefore, lechem apanim arche asar vech bechamisha lechem apanim, we know, was 10, that stays the same. Lechem apanim was 10 tvachim by 5 tvachim. Neisen arche keneged rech b'shashokhan. He agrees to that point. The arich of the lechem apanim goes keneged the rech of the table. So the only difference now is he has, you don't have 10 on top of 5, you have 10 on top of 6. So instead of having to fold up 2.5 on each side, you simply have to fold up 2 on each side. That's all. Just to get to 6 plus 4 is 10. Kefot tvachayim ekan tvachayim ekan. Now, but now here's another key difference. Besides for the height of how much was folded up, 2 and 2.5 tvachim, according to him, if I have a table that's 12 tvachim long, and I'm putting 2 5 tvachim wide rows of bread on the table, I have a space of 2 tvachim in between. He says, indeed, according to him, there was 2 tvachim of space in between, and the reason for the space was in order the air should flow through it, and it shouldn't become spoiled and moldy. If it's bread on top of bread, hot bread on top of hot bread sitting on the shulchan, it'll become moldy. Of course, the bread's only hot, presumably, if you go like the opinion that it was baked on Shabbos. Okay. The Gemara is going to take that for granted on a base. We'll get there, hopefully soon. Abba Shalom. No. The reason why they have the space wasn't just for air to make sure it doesn't get moldy, rather, there's 2 cups of levaina, the spoons of levaina, the frankincense was put on the table, on the shulchan, in between the lechem apanim, and that's where you makter to be matter at every Shabbos. It says the pasuk is not the al merechas levaina, the zaka says you put it on the merechas, on the row of breads, doesn't mean you put the, on top of the stack, you put the levaina, it means on top, which is one of the explanations we gave yesterday, which is what we said, if it's on top of the bread, the flat bread was easy. If it was the curve, the sfina shape, we had a problem. Where you put it, then we said you made a platform within the sfina. That was our answer. But says the Gemara, the Mishnah says it takes for granted, wasn't on top of the breads, like we discussed yesterday, Amar Lahem, Abishal said back, no. Harik Farnemar, V'Olam Mati Menashe. It says that Menashe was a love on Ephraim. Was he on top of Ephraim? It means he was next to Ephraim. Al, it's the second time we had this in the Besechta, but then if you recall, we had it earlier, a bunch of while back, that the Al can be a Lashon of near, not necessarily a Lashon of on, and therefore it means on the table near the bread. Okay. Now the Mishnah, we spoke about yesterday about this as well, there were these walls. Arba Sneif Mishnah, Hashem, there were 4 walls of gold, right? 2 walls on each side, a wall on each side of the loaves of bread. Mufitzol Mersheim, their tops had like things protruding out of them. Shusemchem Bahem, that the Kohanim would use them to support the bread. Shnaim L'Seh Dezeh, Shnaim L'Seh Dezeh, 2 of these walls for each row of bread, row of loaves of bread. The Esim Mishmarin Kohanim, we discussed this kind of yesterday also. The rods that were in between the Chalos would actually, there was 28 of them. Kechatzi Chalol, Kana Chalol. Each one was like a half halari. They weren't full halo. They weren't like full circle. They were half circles, which again, the first explain, allows more air to flow, get through them. Okay? So, each one of these sidre alechem had 14 rods, and the rods would actually rest on these little protrusions that stuck out of these walls, these sniffim, so it's like these little shelving separation units. Okay. Lesidr kanim, v'lenetilasan, dechas Shabbos. Arranging the rods, or taking the rods out, is not dechas Shabbos. Why? And it's part of the Vaida. So the answer is, the version to speak out is that it looks like it's more than just a Shavuos. It looks like real binyan v'seiser, and therefore it seems to be Vaida Gezeira, which is normally Darbana, but it's a gezerah that appears to be a real full melacha, and therefore they didn't do it. So what do? On Nichas Erev Shabbos, they set it up before Shabbos. V'shem day, and when it came time to remove the chalas on Shabbos, you slid them out. V'nais la'archa shel shulchan, and you place them along the. Sorry, he came on Erev Shabbos. You slid out the rods and you left them on by the length of the shulchan, and that was it. And on Shabbos, you used it without rods. Call Kalim, even though we said it's heavy, it could break. For one day, it was okay. Call Kalim, Shabbat Mikdash. Actually, it was really more less than a full day, because for the first part of Shabbos, you had last week's bread, and for the second part of Shabbos, you had the new week's bread. Okay. Call Kalim, Shabbat Mikdash, Arka Shabbayas. The general rule is, all the Kalim and the Mikdash, they were placed, their length was corresponding the length of the bias. So the bias, we know, was longer, going from west to east, right? Or east to west, whichever way. So that's the same, that's the Kalim were placed, a length of east to west. There was an exception, by the way. What was the exception? What ran north-south? The Aron HaKadosh. The Aron ran north-south? Okay. Gemara will discuss it. Kol menachas yesh bem maisib kli b'fnim. All menachas have a maisib kli b'fnim. We said the kneading of the dough and the shaping is done in the courtyard. Chalas Rebbe. Zubinayin. How do we know that the kneading, the shaping of Samincha is done in the chatzar? Amar, in the Azara. Amar lahem, Hariyo Aimer, it says the Pasuk, Vayamer Eli, we're going to quote it for the long Pasuk, we're just taking out the drush and the comparison to Chatz and Nashim over here. Vayamer Eli, Zemako Shea Vashay Lisham, Kam, this place to come, should bake, to cook, as a Asham, as a Chatz, as a Sheifu, as a Mincha, the Vilti Hatsias, a Lachatzi Chatzina. It compares the Mincha to Midash Vachatas, Mash Vachatas, Tun and Kli. Just like Ash Vachatas require Kli, they need to be done with a Kli, and it need to be done in the Azara. Af Mincha, tu nami tu nakli. So the Mincha requires a kli for the kneading of the dough and the shaping it, and therefore needs to be done in the Azara. Shulchan Arka Azara. We said the Shulchan, the length of it is 10 tvachim, and it overlapped. And here's the key point. So since it overlapped 5 tvachim in total, 2.5 in each side, you fold it upwards. The bread, each loaf is folded up 2.5 tvachim each side. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, there's a Chazar. We had this a bunch of blah back. The Devar Em Tvachim and Mechzel Kaifel. According to the opinion that the bread folded upwards 2.5 tvachim, Nimsa Shulchan Mekadosh Chamisha Tvachim Lamala. Do the math. 2.5 tvachim, 6 loaves of bread in the row. 6 times 2.5 is 15. So the shulchan is being mekadosh as high as 15 tvachim above the shulchan. The Devar Em Tvachim Kaifel. According to the opinion, that the first opinion was Rabbi Yehuda. According to the second opinion of Remeir, they only folded up 2 tvachim. So Nimsa 6 times 2 is 12. Nimsa Shulchan Mekadosh Shneimas Tvachim Lamala. The Shulchan Mekadosh 12 Tvachim Lamala. And if you remember what we said back then was, not that that's Mekadosh the bread. Of course it's Mekadosh the bread that's on it. The Chiddush is Mekadosh other things even as high as 12 Tvachim and 15 Tvachim, because once it has the power to Mekadosh the bread that I was saying, it's Mekadosh other things as well. The bread, of course, Mekadosh, that's not a Chiddush. And if you remember that Gemara back then, the Gemara was trying to bring a proof whether the Shulchan is Mekadosh other things or not. And the Gemara says, no, the only proof you have from our Sugya is that it's Mekadosh the puzzle. It's Mekadosh for psul purposes, for psulina, for psul, for tzul yayim, tachi become dame, for psul yaitse, but to Mekadosh at likarev, perhaps the Shulchan cannot be Mekadosh other things, only the lechem upon him itself. Okay, question. The question back then was even, if I remember correctly, it was Machlekes Rashi Tosfos. Could the Shulchan Mekadosh, it was about 5 times ago, the Shulchan could be Mekadosh a Kmitza. Did it mean the Kmitza of flour, as Tosfos learned, like a Kmitz? Rashi learned it meant the Kmitza of Levina. You didn't put the Levina into a Bezichon, into a Kli. You put it directly on the Shulchan. Is Mekadosh, that was the Shaila. Ultimately, we didn't bring a proof in this case because we're saying it's Mekadosh the Apostle. Yes, Shnell? In general, when in order for something to get a status of Kedushas Haguf, it can have Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Damim has before. It doesn't have Kedushas Haguf. In which case? That's Machlekes. That's Machlekes. Meaning, the preparation was saying, let's say it could be done outside, Pashtas. We're talking the Lechem Panim is not so Pashtas. Pashtas not, no. No. The Shaila B'Lechem HaPanim is whether the Shaila B'Lechem HaPanim is when they were baked, exactly. That was the Shaila. Not Lechem HaPanim, I don't believe so. Okay, Lechem HaPanim, I believe it could be done outside, everything. It's just the baking of it, according to one man number, is Mekadosh, or according to one number, that the Tana is not Mekadosh, then it gets Kiddush how? On the Shulchan itself. We actually just had that the other night. Onto the Shulchan. Onto the Shulchan. No, it's the putting it on the Shulchan. It becomes Hekdesh. No, it was Hekdesh before. Hekdesh is two types. Hekdesh is Kedushas Damim, monetary Kedusha, and it's Kedushas Aguf, which is a different high level Kedusha. Monetary Kedusha already had before that. But the Kedushas Aguf, which what he was referring to, that takes place either in the Tanner or on the Mizbeach. HaShulchan Arka, sorry, we said the table was 10 Tvachim, so we just went through this. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's Mekadosh as high as 15 Tvachim high, according to Meir, 12 Tvachim high. Veka Kanim, why is it 15 or 12? You left out the rods, sorry. Kanim, Kanim calls to be reached, by the way. Kanim, shkuye, mishakeya, luhu. The kanim gets sunk into the bread. In fact, the marbi defeat the purpose. My time, mishim, fish, lechem, isn't part of the purpose to separate the breads, the shukka moldi, if the kanim get wedged into the breads, and the breads are now all touching, it defeated the purpose. So if lechem, the lechem is going to become moldy, even with the rods, if it's not separating them. The Magbalei Purtik, Mar says, you're right, it separates it a drop, but like mamish minute. Mar says, still, six drops put together is something, no? You're right, it's something, but since it doesn't have the tefach, it wasn't counted. So you have either 15 tefachim or 12 tefachim, had the rods equal another full tefach, it would have been counted, but there, since it doesn't have the tefach, it's not counted. In fact, what about the bezichin, that according to Mandam, that's put on top of the breads, the chord adds to the height? The answer is, even if it's on top of the breads, it was inside, it was swallowed within the height of the bread, within the walls. So since it's within the breads, it's included in the height of the top of the bread, and therefore it's not making it any higher. Vika Kronis, what about the horns? We spoke on horns, we added to seemingly the top of it. We already come and gave the answer. Kronis the gavi, the lechem kayflu, the lechem allow nachlu. So if you have the picture on your page, the corners were basically, again, you had the flat, the bread, we'll go with the assumption of flat. It was flat, it came up on the sides, that's the bread. Now the corners were stuck in, were just these horns. The crunis, I keep saying, I really mean to say horns. The horns were these like little fingers of dough that were put in, going inward, not going any higher. It was basically almost like where the cover would be to the bread, and the next bread went on top of it, so it didn't gain any height from those horns. In fact, Gemara still make a miskarte. What about the frame around the shulchan? There was a little frame around the shulchan. Doesn't that add to the height? Gemara says, "Come on, damer top of a base, side of a base." Going like the opinion that holds that the mascaris was not on top of the shulchan, it was below the shulchan. Okay. Lamata mascarita, right? There's a tzad that the mascaris was like a little bit of like a frame, a little bit of a, like the table I'm sitting on, which has a long one, it's bumping into my feet. Underneath the table, you have this little wood, like this little frame over there was gold, a little frame around the shulchan. Okay. Lamata mascarita lamala, but if you hold the mascarita lamala, perukude have him, I'm sorry?
Isn't there an edge?
That's what we're talking about right now. So we're saying, this. First we were deflected by saying that this edge went beneath the table, not on top of it. But if you say, even if you say that the mascaris was on top, I could tell you that it was bending upwards outside the table. So I'm not sure if this is what you're saying, Hirsch, but the frame, it was on the outskirts. It didn't encompass any of the space of the table. So it wasn't like the bread was resting on top of this frame. The frame was outside, so when you put the bread down, the bread was still flush on the table, and the frame started to wrap around the bread even. The point is, it didn't increase the height of the bread off the table. There was none of these snifim. Rabbi Yisrael argues on all these walls. There weren't these walls by the lechem panim. El maskarta shukam ametzlachem, because the maskarta, that little frame around it, that was able to support the bread. So they argued and they said maskarta was beneath. But what do you see clear? You see manavshach. Either maskarta was beneath the table, or even if it was above the table, it was simply wrapping around the breads, but it wasn't beneath. It wasn't lifting the breads, and therefore the heights that Rabbi Yechon discussed before are still going to hold at either 15 tefachim according to Buda or 12 tefachim high according to Rabbi Meir. Amar Yechon. According to the opinion of the mascaris, this frame was below the table, the top of the table, so it's from the tabletop and below. Tavla hamisapechas tmeya. You could be medayik that if you have, let's say, a slab of wood, exactly, that can be used on both sides, it is mekabel tuma. Now, Rashi points out over here that, let's jump into the Rashi side. Sheikhailim l'shtamish b'sadzu, k'moy b'sadzu. Rashi learns, tavla hamisapechas means a flat table they could use on both sides. Basically, just means a flat board, a flat table. That's what he teaches Tav Mesbechas. The other Rishayim, I believe Tosis included, learns Tav Mesbechas means no. You have according to the Mandam, the frame is on the bottom. That's what we're talking about now. Right? Frame's on the bottom. If you flip it, what would it be? Then, I mean, if you flip it over, you'd have the same flat table. It's just now the tabletop is still the table bottom is still flat, but now the frame around it is making creating this base kibble. The issue over here is that normally something which is flat, doesn't have base kibble, may not be mekabel tuma. Shuzi kliates, it is not mekabel tuma. We're saying over here that what? That if I flip it and it has a frame beneath the table, when I flip it, now the frame is above the table, and now it's a base kibble. So it's davka tav masapechas. Rashi's clearly not saying that. Rashi's saying it's a table that can be used on both sides. Somehow that's a mila. And Rashi, next Rashi will explain why. What does it say? Tamei, it's Tamei. What does Rashi say? The next Rashi, why is it Tamei? Rashi introduces a new Svara. Keshulchan Shem Mikdash, like the Shulchan Mikdash was Tamei, Shem Mikabot Tama. Why? Vein tav vazuk shapir shtu kliyetz. Why is it not like any kliyetz, which is pasha, which doesn't have a base kibul? It says Rashi derechavehi base kibula, because it's so wide. When a table is wide enough, that gives it the status of a base kibul. Even if there's no round edges, nothing. A base kibble, nothing on the side to hold it in. If it's wide enough, that also gives it a shame base kibble. That's how Rashi learned the Gemara. Again, according to Tais Malach, I believe it was Tais, then if you're flipping it upside down literally and you have a frame now on the top side, you don't have to say this. You can just say, now it encompasses something. Okay. Now, if you say the Miskeris was on the top, now again, this is all based on the assumption that the Shulchan is susceptible to Tumah. According to the opinion of the Miskeris, the frame was on the top. For those who have to go to Marv, I know I said we just finished on time, but we just fell a little late today. For those who have to go now, it could be a good time to leave. Tavla mesapechas tiboyelach. If you hold that the frame was on the upside, was on the top, so then you'd have a shayla by top mesapechas, meaning, because the meshulchas mekapetum, I'll tell you, because it has a frame on top of it, so therefore it's base kibul. But if it would be, according to Rashi, again, just a plain flat table, or according to Tosfos, a table where the bottom half has kibul when you flip it upside down, but the way it's standing right now, it doesn't have kibul, that would still be a shayla. We'd have no proof, because the shulchan wasn't that case, because the shulchan had the frame on top. So that's the Gemara. This whole conversation is based on the fact, obviously, your statement, it relies on the fact that the shulchan is mekapetum. We're taking that for granted, and from there we're inferring different halachas of kibul and not kibul. Says the Gemara, kli eitz l'nachasu, l'cheretz kli eitz, forget about being flat, it's also meant to be stationary. It's not meant to move. Beautiful Gemara coming up. V'chol kli eitz l'nachasu l'nachasu im kapatumah. Any kli eitz that's meant not to move, it's meant to be stationary. If it's not meant to move from its place, it's not a kapatumah for a separate reason. My timer, why? Do me the sack meaning, because in order to be kapatumah, it needs to be similar to a sack. Ma sack, metal to mali v'rekan, the sack is something which is carried and moved around, both empty and full. So it's movable, it's not meant to be left in its place. Afkam tal mavrekan, to the exclusion of being metam something which is left in its place. Answers the Gemara, Shulchan Ami, metal tal mavrekan, the Shulchan was lifted, it moved mavrekan, where, how so? Damar Shlakesh, maydach seval Shulchan Atar, it says that you should put the bread on the Shulchan Atar. Tar mechal deka tameya. By telling me they put the bread on the Shulchan Tar, his mashma could become tameh, but he's saying the word tar. What's the chiddush? What's the pshat? Same issue. It's not moved. El malameh shemagbin aysel el regalim. They used to lift the shulchan up for the el regalim. Why daf regalim? Why not on a weekly basis? I'm not sure. They used to lift the shulchan up for the regalim. Vayim lem, and he would tell them, "Ruchi basim fi amakim. See how beloved you are in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You are vayda. Why? Kedivrei b'shuv and levi. B'shuv and levi. He's called the nasa lechem panim. There's amazing nays in lechem apanim. Silukai kisidurai. When they took it off on Shabbos, it was the same way when they put it on the Shabbos earlier. In what sense? That it was still hot. How do the people standing far away see that it was hot? Says the because the steam was coming out of the bread. Shenemar, lasam lechem cham b'yam alakachai. To place the bread that's hot on the day it's taken off. We're comparing the day it's taken off to the day it's placed. Just like on the day it was placed, it was hot. So too on the day it's taken off, it was also hot. Now, again, the first should point out that this fits very well, according to the opinion, that you bake the challah on Shabbos and then you put it on the shulchan. If you bake the Friday and put on the shulchan on Shabbos, presumably by Shabbos it would already be cool anyway. So what do you mean stayed hot? Had to stay hot. It wasn't hot. To begin with, they want to answer that even according to the opinion they baked it on Friday, you're not allowed to bake on Shabbos. But you know what you're allowed to do? You're allowed to leave in the oven with a blech and it remained hot. Very good. Left in the oven and it remained hot. And therefore, it could be hot even according to that opinion too. I just need two more lines. The table came from Tzipa, effect tomorrow, 1 second. You're busy trying to figure out if this wooden table has, by the shulchan, has tumah, had a covering of gold plating. Isn't the gold plating enough to make it? Then we learn, if you have a wooden table or wooden chair that became smaller, it got this missing some of its place to put stuff on, to sit on it, or to place stuff on. Or if you covered it with marble, marble's not makabal tumah. But you left enough place to put cases on it, cups on it, tamayim, it remains tumah as long as there's some spot. But you already see from the shayish, once you put shayish on it, that alone takes away the tumah, who had done the opposite. Udaimer, makam nachas chitichas, has been enough room to put pieces of meat. Right? Meaning room for a cup is not enough. Has to be enough for a piece of meat. Okay. Shear in, le shear loy. Only if left enough room, yeah, good. Then it's makabotumah. If it's not enough room, it's not makabotumah. You see that marble, if you played it with marble, which is not makabotumah, it takes away the shame kibotumah. So on the flip side, if you played it with something that is shayach kibotumah, then like metal, it should be makabotumah. Okay, the chitim of kametzipa emed, kametzipa b'sheni emed. Maybe tell me the difference is whether the tzipa is like connected or whether it's not connected, meaning whether it can come right off. Habayim reshlok Rabbi Yochanan b'tzipa emed b'tzipa b'sheni emed b'shechipa oy b'shechipa es levazaz. You know what? Let's not run through. Let's pick it up here tomorrow. We'll get back to the beginning of this kasha tomorrow. Sorry.